Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. When it comes to cooking and eating, you need to know this simple fact. Every plate tells a story. There's a lot of history and backstory at the end of the fork or the chopsticks or wrapped in a tortilla, and Hetty McKinnon is a food storyteller. Her latest cookbook is Tenderheart, a cookbook about vegetables and unbreakable family bonds. And Hetty, welcome to The Source.
Hi, David. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, we're excited to talk to you today. And our phone lines are open. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. You've got a question or comment. We want to talk about vegetables. What's your favorite vegetable and favorite recipe? If you've got a vegetable that you've been wanting to get into, not sure how to do it, give us a call. You can also email us at thesource@tpr.org. So, Hetty, you have a really fascinating origin story to becoming the foodie superstar that you are today. You know, you're not a chef. You didn't train in some culinary arts school in Paris. You call yourself a home cook. Talk about how you how you became, you know, the Hetty that many people will know from the food world.
Oh, wow. That's a great question. You're right. I'm not trained. I call myself a home cook. Everything that I really know to do in the food world came from my home that I grew up in. So my mom is an avid cook. She's an immigrant from the southern China. I grew up in Australia. So I just learned to cook by watching her. And I started cooking not that long ago, actually, about 2023? So about 12 years ago, I started making food in my home in Sydney and cycling them around to my community, to locals in my community. And those were vegetarian salads. And from that business, which was actually called Arthur Street Kitchen, I discovered the power of food to connect people from different walks of life, but also to connect me with my heritage. So in the recent years and in recent books, a lot of my cooking has been me kind of discovering more about my heritage as a Chinese Australian person. And it's been, as you said, it's for me, it's my form of storytelling.
It's also incredible. You developed a cookbook that you produced. When you were selling the salads, you left your job in marketing to take on this. I mean, you're an incredible entrepreneur as well. I mean, you know, all these businesses that you've started, and just on a, you know, just a lot of grit in those salads, I got to tell you. And you developed a cookbook just for your customers, and it got into the hands of a publisher, and they said, "This is great stuff. Let's go Australia wide with it." And now it's gone global.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, when I made that book, the first book was called Community, and it was really just made. And at the time, I didn't really know how to write recipes, so I was learning to write recipes as I was learning to really cook and use ingredients and marry flavors from different parts of the world together, using spices and all of those things. And it was just me learning. And so I developed this book. I wrote these recipes for my community. And I self-published that first book, actually. And through a friend of a friend of a friend, this publisher found this book at her house, at a friend's house. And she basically decided she wanted to publish it nationwide in Australia. And that happened really not long before I moved to the U.S. I moved to the U.S. at the end of 2014. I got here right at the beginning, basically New Year's 2015. And Community had just come out in Australia, and it was very, it kind of took on a life of its own. It was very popular, and I kind of wrote all my subsequent books in the US. So I've got this kind of double two-country life part of me is in Australia, but I physically am in the US. So, yeah.
And vegetarianism is a big part of who you are and how you cook.
Mm-hmm.
And so when did you become a vegetarian and how did you make that choice?
Yeah, so I've been a vegetarian since I was a late teenager. So for many decades now, almost 30 years. So it's something that just felt right to me. I mean, I grew up surrounded by vegetables. So eating vegetables was not something that was unusual to me. My dad actually worked at the produce markets. And so we were just naturally just surrounded with vegetables and good produce, fresh food. So when I was a late teen, I just decided, you know, as a lot of kids in college and university do, I thought, well, I'm just going to try being a vegetarian. And the life just really suited me. I never looked back. I never wanted meat again, actually. Through my 20s and my 30s, I was, you know, I cooked for myself, but I wasn't an avid cook. I wasn't obsessed about it at all. I always made different things and it had different flavors on the plate, but it wasn't, cooking vegetables wasn't something I was obsessed with. It was just something that was always just a part of my life. But it really wasn't until I started Arthur Street Kitchen, the salad business, that I discovered that a lot of people love eating vegetarian and they love eating a vegetable forward diet, but they just don't know how to do it. So that's been a huge part of my passion is sharing this love of vegetables, showing people how vegetables can move to the center of the plate and not be the side. And you know, just bringing together a lot of the flavors and the textures that I grew up with, which were Cantonese flavors, and marrying that with all the other influences in my life of traveling, of living overseas several times, of going back to Australia, having that Chinese background and marrying that with all the flavors of New York, where I live now. So,
and real quickly, because I'm going to go to the break here, but how vegetarian are you? I see that there is some egg in Tender Heart, but, you know, you use non-dairy products for your accidental ranch dressing. So
Yes. So I'm vegetarian. I don't eat any seafood. I have always eaten, since I became vegetarian, I've always eaten eggs and dairy. But they are slowly phasing out of my diet just because that's just where my life is going. It suits my body better as I get older. So there's some dairy and some eggs, but not a lot nowadays, and that's reflected in the recipes.
All right. Well, we'll talk more about vegetarianism. If listeners, if that's what you want to talk about, call in, talk about your vegetarian journey and how you got there. Also, what are your favorite vegetables and your favorite vegetable recipes? Where are you on, going green with your menu? We know that is a healthy choice. Yesterday, we talked about life expectancy and the problems that we're having there in the United States. And, you know, food is medicine. So what are you consuming and how do we get there? How do we help other people discover how to cook well with vegetables? Give us a call. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR Talk. The Source continues after this quick break.
Support for this podcast comes from Big Sun Solar, committed to helping businesses strive towards energy independence and conservation. Solar is a great way for businesses to lower their carbon footprint. More at bigsunsolar.com/TPR.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. With us today, cookbook author Hetty Lou McKinnon. Her latest book is Tender Heart, a cookbook about vegetables and the unbreakable family bonds. We want to know what are your favorite vegetables and recipes and how you serve them, how you eat them, how you grow them. And if you're a vegetarian, love to hear about your decision to your journey as a vegetarian. Give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. So you talk about you love connection with vegetables. It's not just this substance, these things that exist in the world. Do you really feel a connection to the vegetables?
I do. I think about vegetables a lot of my day. I think about, and it's actually not joking. My kids would actually, attest to that. I do. I talk about them. To me, it's like they're just, to transform a vegetable into something. They're beautiful anyway when they come out of the ground or when they grow. But to have a beautiful meal based around a vegetable and to find the different qualities in a vegetable. Like growing up, you could have just had steamed or boiled broccoli, but when you char grill it or when you roast it, something beautiful comes out, and it's all these different characteristics. So that's what I really love in the work that I do.
All right. Well, we've seemed to have lost our connection with our guest, Hedy Lou McKinnon, an award-winning Australian Chinese cookbook author, recipe developer, Substack newsletter writer. She is known for her vibrant and flavorful vegetarian recipes that are inspired by her Chinese heritage and her global travels. And we're clearing up the line now, working on that. She has written 5 cookbooks, including the critically acclaimed Community and To Asia with Love. She is also a regular contributor to food publications like the New York Times, Washington Post, Bon Appetit, and others. And our phone lines are open if you want to call in, and we'd love to hear from you right now about your vegetarian journey. What vegetables do you love to grow and cook and put together in a meal? Or are you vegetable curious? Are you you want to jump into into the deep end of the pool on vegetables, but you're still a little scared? Give us a call. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. You could also send us an email to thesource@tpr.org and text us at that call-in line. The number is 833-877-8255. And it has been shown that people who have the experience and the knowledge to cook vegetables, they eat healthier. A study published in the journal Appetite found that people who were more knowledgeable about cooking vegetables were more likely to report eating them regularly. Another study published in the journal Public Health Nutrition found that people who were taught how to cook vegetables were more likely to eat them and report eating them. And the Journal of Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics found that people who participated in cooking intervention that focused on vegetables were more likely to increase their vegetable intake. And all right, so Hedy, do we have you back?
I'm back. I'm sorry about that. I think my Wi-Fi dropped out.
That's all right. Okay, all right.
Can imagine 2020?
Yeah, I had to tap dance for a little while there.
I'm back. When did I drop off? When I was waxing lyrical about carrots?
We hadn't gotten to carrots yet, so tell us about carrots.
Right, so carrots, I was saying to myself, I guess, that I love the idea of taking a really humble vegetable that most people would find a bag of carrots and how you can turn that into a beautiful meal. I love asking myself that question, and I love bringing people those answers. So, yes, so there we go.
Yeah, and so carrots are they are the fourth often consumed vegetable in the United States. Number one is potato. If we call that a vegetable, they do, and then tomato, yes, and then onion, and then carrot. Carrot comes number 4. So people do eat carrots.
Wow.
But I think they're limited in many ways.
Yeah, that's right. I people use them as, perhaps just as a side to maybe a protein.
Yeah.
So in the book, like one of my favorite meals is a carrot peanut ramen, satay ramen. So the carrots are grated and they actually, you know, broth, the carrots form the body of the broth. So it's an incredibly, you know, all my food is very tasty. But it's made with just peanut butter and, you know, some stock and carrots. And that's your peanut ramen broth. So that's one way, or you can use meal, lots of carrots, some, you know, white beans, cannellini beans, and make a citrusy dressing. That's another way of bringing carrots to the fore and really letting carrots shine on the plate rather than just being playing second fiddle to something else.
See, you talk about your life with food and how it comes from, you know, the connection that you have with your parents. You know, my mom didn't really cook vegetables very well. It was pretty much a boil them until it turns gray and unidentifiable.
Oh,
and
no.
Then, you know, put it on the plate and yell at you until you eat it. You know, but we can do better. You know, not all of us have the background of having, but we're fortunate enough that we do have access to more information and learning how to cook things that are interesting. And, you know, and you always thought that cabbage was just something that like that, that was boiled and served, you know, with corned beef or something. But, you know, as you, in your recipe, you could throw the cabbage on the Barbie and do something interesting with the cabbage, you know, on the grill. And of course, here in Texas, we love to grill things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Cabbage is one of the best things to throw on the grill. And actually, one of the very, very for this book was like a Napa cabbage, which you can actually roast in the oven because, you know, it's I don't actually have a grill anymore, but you can either roast it or you can put it on the barbecue or the outdoor grill. And the beautiful thing about that is the leaves, some of the leaves, the ones that were, you know, closest to the heat source will char. And charring and smokiness and color, this is what I say to everyone who wants to cook more with vegetables, is color on a vegetable is flavor. So don't be afraid to really get that charred, those charred edges, because that's flavor and that's going to just bring out different characteristics. So cabbage is wonderful on the grill. It becomes smoky on the outside, and it also brings out the sweetness. So there's a lot of sweetness vegetables that people don't always recognize, because if you're not cooking vegetables properly, the sweetness doesn't, you know, like if you boil something until it's, as you say, almost gray, you kind of, all the nuance of the flavors of a vegetable kind of disappear. So grilling is a really wonderful way of bringing out different textures, different, there's, you know, umami in a lot of these vegetables too. So the sweetness, the savoriness, use your outdoor grill. It's also great for Asian greens.
Yeah, but, you know, the Brussels sprout, which is, you know, one of these vegetables that has a bad reputation, it's a mini cabbage. Mm. You know, it's like, you know, like a, you know, tiny fist. It's a really tiny cabbage. You know, it also brings out the sweetness. Those can be brought out as a sweet dish.
That's right. I mean, I used to, when I did have an outdoor grill, I would actually throw almost any vegetable on the grill. But for a Brussels sprout, yeah, the Brussels sprouts have this slight bitterness, which some people might complain about, but I think you play with that bitterness. So what I like to do with Brussels sprouts is add sweetness. You can, you know, add things like lots of sauces like gochujang, and there's miso, like glazing it in those types of big flavored condiments that we all have in our fridge now, or hopefully we all have, or you soon will play on that bitterness and actually tap on the different characteristics. Brussels sprouts in particular, like a really simple dish, it doesn't even require a recipe, but just roasting a tray of Brussels sprouts and then just drizzling. So good. You know, that's, you don't even need a recipe for that. That would eat that with you know, some legumes or something like that. Just brilliant.
So drizzling what on the Brussels sprouts? Because we cut out for that.
If you've got it. But honey and maple syrup go very well with Brussels sprouts.
All right. Let's go to a caller. We have Charlotte. And Charlotte, you're on the air. Go ahead.
I was going to say that I have been totally whole food and plant-based since 2013. And my health has phenomenally changed for the better. But what I was going to say to people is there are a lot of Get Healthy San Antonio. Well, Get Healthy different places. Get Healthy Seguin, Get Healthy Bandera, Get Healthy New Braunfels. All of these groups exist. And you can go and you take a potluck, you know, a dish. And if you're new to it, you can just go to, you know, the grocery store and get fruit or something the first time. And then you'll see what people do. They bring their recipe and they put it there so that if people have other needs like, you know, can't have gluten or this or that, it's on the recipe so you know. But I do suggest, and I haven't heard, so I didn't know what your guest said because I was trying to dial. But a good starting book, I think, would be Forks Over Knives, the cookbook. It has lots of recipes, and they're right now I'm in my kitchen, and I just made some cheese sauce that actually I got from my Vitamix cookbook, and I keep that on hand, and I use it with a lot of things. This morning I had breakfast tacos. I put the cheese sauce on, and it does, I mean, you know, it does have nuts. Anyway, I know I only have a minute, but I'm just saying this has opened the world to me, and my health. In fact, I do Meals on Wheels. I'm 76. I do Meals on Wheels. And I have clients that are in their 50s because they haven't taken care of their health. And I always tell them, my dad said if I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of my health.
And right. So real quickly, Charlotte, I have a question for Charlotte. Like, what was the name of this potluck thing and how do people connect with that?
Okay. Well, in San Antonio, the one that I belong to is vegan San Antonio, you know, they're vegans, veggie San Antonio. You can look it up on Meetup, and there are, you know, two people, Jackie Fonseca and Allison Ho. They started it, and they do a lot of things.
Okay.
But if you're just interested in the food, they have potlucks every month.
All right. Well, Charlotte, thank you for calling in with that. I appreciate that. I've got, you know, got to go to this break right now, but you have like 30 seconds for a quick reaction, Hetty?
I think that sounds wonderful. And I love the idea that Charlotte has cheese sauce on the side, because that's the other thing about vegetables, that they can also be very indulgent and comforting and provide you with that heartiness. And that's, I think, a common misconception about vegetables, that they're salad-y and you can't have something indulgent like a cheese sauce.
All right.
It's probably a very healthy cheese sauce too.
Let's take a break. Our phone lines are open. We do want to hear from our community about vegetables. What are your favorite vegetable dishes? How do you indulge with vegetables? How do you get someone to eat vegetables that they say they don't like, but then you give them a taste, give them a fork, and yeah, they go to town on it. Give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. We'll continue our discussion with Hetty McKinnon, author of Tender Heart, when we come back. Stay with us.
If you're like me and you love the engaging content on Texas Public Radio, I have some great news about an impactful way you can support your treasured programming. Reach out to an HR representative at your organization and inquire about employer gift matching opportunities. Many companies like USAA, Liberty Mutual, and United Health Group provide workplace giving programs that will match or even triple your support to TPR. Some companies go the extra mile by matching gifts made by retirees and spouses, too. It's an easy way to make tax-deductible donations to the causes you care about with donations taken directly out of your paycheck. Support like yours is the reason we're able to produce the podcast you're enjoying right now. So, ask your HR rep today about your employer's gift matching policy, and thank you.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're having a conversation with Hetty Lou McKinnon. She's the author of Tender Heart, a cookbook about vegetables and unbreakable family bonds. She's also the author of To Asia with Love and other hit cookbooks. If you got a question or a comment, give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Hetty, there are a lot of vegetables at the in the supermarket that people... You know, I don't know why people don't buy more of them, you know, and one of them is fennel. And I think fennel is one of the undiscovered superstars that needs to be introduced into more people's kitchen. And you have a recipe for a fennel and black pepper ice cream. So, well, first let's talk about fennel. Why isn't fennel more loved?
You know what? Physicality might be what turns people off or makes people question, because it's like, what do we do with this? It looks kind of knobbly, you know, I don't know what it is about fennel. And, you know, I think foods that have that slight aniseed flavor.
Like a licorice flavor.
And I think it's actually very pleasing. I think the thing about fennel is you got to try it in all its different forms, because in all its different forms, it varies incredibly. For example, cooked fennel, the aniseed flavor, the licorice flavor, mellows a little bit when you cook it. But when it's fresh, some people, like my kids, actually much prefer raw fennel. So they will eat it just like you would carrot. Like, it's crunchy. It's bright. It's got it's very juicy. So I think fennel is definitely one of those vegetables that you have to try it in all its forms. But yeah, it's also, the licorice flavor means that it's actually really lovely to think of it in a sweet way. So I really wanted to use fennel in a sweet application in this book. And when I tried the ice cream, it was undeniably very, very good. So a lot of people love this recipe. So I encourage people to give it a go.
It's a no-churn ice cream, so you can make this in your kitchen without a whole lot of special apparatus.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I'm a home cook, and I'm also, because I'm a home cook, I also have to wash my own apparatus, which means I do actually have an ice cream churner, but it's put up in a high cupboard, and if I don't have to get it down, I won't. So a no-churn ice cream are my favorite kind. You just, you know, bang it together, usually whiz it up in a blender or something. Unfortunately, that is an apparatus I have to also wash, and then put it in your freezer. And that black pepper is an unexpected addition, but I love playing on the sweets and the savouries. All these different flavours, you can play with that very well when you cook with vegetables.
Let's go to a caller. Our number is 833-TPR-TALK, 833-877-8255. And Madi, you're on the air.
Oh, thanks. Hey, I'm a Hispanic girl. I live in San Antonio. My whole life long, my parents loved us. But we ate a lot of, like, beans and rice and a little meat on the side, picadillo, a little carnita, stuff like that. It was fabulous. I'm thankful. But when I went away to college and I experienced steamed broccoli, cauliflower, mushrooms, carrots for the first time, I fell in love. Not only did they taste good, my body felt different. And ever since then, I put vegetables in everything. I'm 63. I feel like I'm 30. And I'm strong, and it's the vitamins and the nutrients in the vegetables. I put them in spaghetti sauce, chile con carne, you name it, girl, they're in there. Diced up small, nobody knows, but they're all healthier because of it. So thank you for the book, and thank you for sharing this amazing information.
Well, Madi, thank you for calling in and sharing your enthusiastic story. Your reaction, Hetty?
I love that. And she's completely right. Like, you can make a spaghetti, like a pasta dish that everybody in the house will love, it loaded up with all your vegetables. You know, using Asian greens like you would spinach or something else, and then just using that as a base of your pasta dish. You know, so you can still have really hearty food, or the carby pasta dishes that we love, or the noodle dishes that we love, but load that up with vegetables. I love that enthusiasm. That's lovely.
So a broccoli... is a dish you dedicate a lot to in the book, and you do a lot with broccoli. Many people are just accustomed to having it steamed or boiled. You can do so much with broccoli and the whole plant. I mean, so I grow a lot of stuff, including broccoli. And there's a lot of broccoli coming out of the ground in my backyard. And we use the leaves, we use the stems, we use the whole thing. We're very much attached to, of course, the floral part of the broccoli. So what do you do with it?
So broccoli is my favorite vegetable. It is the one we eat the most in our house. So I wish I had your garden. It's such an adaptable vegetable. You can do things like charring, you can roast it, but you can also, like in this book, there is actually a boiled broccoli. It's probably the first boiled broccoli recipe I've ever written, but the broccoli is boiled in salted water, and the salted water just brings out the sweetness and the savoriness in the broccoli. And then that's tossed with crumbled tofu. Tofu is also boiled in the salted water, and with butter beans, and it's just like this really textural dish. So that's, you know, there's many different ways of cooking broccoli. There's also what I call a long time broccoli, where the broccoli is almost like a confit, where the broccoli is cooked for a long time, low and slow, in olive oil and garlic. And at the end of, you know, the hour or so that it cooks, it kind of falls apart, and you can just eat that on bread, or you can toss that through pasta, again, very hearty. So there's all these different aspects of broccoli that really thrill me. I can, you know, it's obviously great in salads, but in the book I also use it as a wonton filling. So wonton is obviously a food I grew up with, and it adds like this beautiful kind of floral essence to the wonton filling, which is predominantly potato, actually, potato and broccoli. So it's such a versatile vegetable.
Well, I have to ask you about this broccoli forest loaf, which is kind of like broccoli cake, and it's got like big chunks of broccoli sticking out of it. It looks it's very like, what is this kind of a thing? Tell me about this.
It's a beautiful loaf. It was one of the recipes that everybody was very, very excited to try when they first got the book. It's basically a savory loaf. So in the loaf, there's a lot of, like, there's cheese, there's olives, there's turmeric, so there's chili powder. So it's a very savory, spiced loaf. And then we have steamed boiled broccoli just sticking through the loaf, and when you cut through the loaf you get kind of this beautiful broccoli cross section. It's a recipe that I've actually dreamed about creating for actually a long time, so I'm really delighted that it's in the book and people are loving this recipe. But yeah, that's like, it's also very whimsical, you know. Vegetables, broccolis look like little trees, so it's just my way of bringing fun to vegetables. I mean, I really wanted in this book to show the joy that we can all get from cooking with vegetables. So that's one of the fun and whimsical recipes.
The number is 833-877-8255. If you want to call in, 833-TPR-TALK. If you've got a question or comment about being a vegetarian, eating vegetables, cooking vegetables, growing vegetables. Hedy McKinnon is with us, author of the book Tender Heart. I had a text message question about, as a vegetarian, how do you make sure that you get enough protein every day?
Right, that's everybody's favorite question about protein. You know, there's a lot of protein in vegetables. There's a lot of protein in legumes.
In peas. There's a lot of protein in peas.
In peas, in tofu, in things like edamame beans, which is not, I don't have an edamame bean chapter, but edamame beans is one of these great things to have in your freezer. They have so much protein. So there's protein in, as long as you think about your food holistically and think, well, I'm not going to just eat a raw carrot for dinner. You've got to make it hearty. You've got to make it so that you're full and you're satisfied. So you're really going to be using things like legumes, like, as you say, peas, with tofu, building in all these different ingredients. So I think we also don't need protein every single meal. That's something that, you know, people become very obsessed with in terms of becoming a vegetarian and not getting your protein. So it's just eating really well put together meals. If I don't want to think about dinner and I don't want to actually use a recipe, I would think about taking one vegetable, combining it with a legume, and sometimes that could be a chickpea. Often I will just use canned legumes because it's easier, faster, cheaper. And then I will add, you know, some sort of sauce, like a tahini sauce or some sort of quick dressing that I've thrown together, and then top it with something textural, some nuts. Nuts also have protein, and seeds, things like that. So that's like the very basic way that I think about putting together a vegetarian dinner if I wasn't going to think.
Right. So let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more about the sense of community and what we eat, how we eat. Do we eat family style? You know how to cook that up. And if you got a question or a comment for our guest, Hattie McKinnon, author of Tender Heart, give us a call. 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. It's The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. At Texas Public Radio, we continue to do what public media has done for decades, bring people together to help make sense of the world. That's the commitment that's always guided our work and which remains central to our mission. We also believe it's important for everyone to be able to hear deeply researched and meticulously reported journalism. TPR is an essential public good that's freely available to everyone. Our commitment is to the truth, democracy, and building a more informed and enlightened public. We serve everyone, not just those who can pay. We ask for money so you and everyone in our community can hear the news regardless of how much money they have. There is no paywall here. We do need financial support, though, to provide this service. If donating to TPR is within your means, a monthly gift of $10 makes a big difference. Go to our website, tpr.org, or use the TPR app and hit the red donate button to give today. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about vegetarianism, eating vegetables, why they will keep you healthy and strong, like Popeye. Give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Hattie, I got to ask you about why no radish in this cookbook. Do you not like radishes?
I like radish. There's 22 chapters, and I didn't have enough space to have a radish chapter. But you know, there's other vegetables. Radish shouldn't feel slighted. There's also no corn chapter. I love corn too, but when you put together a book like this, you really have to go with your heart and the vegetables that really speak to you and that you have a message to share. And I don't probably eat as many radishes I do broccoli, so it didn't get its own chapter, but I do have a turnip chapter.
Yeah, I do, and I was like, oh, we got to talk about turnips, but I want to get this caller on the air, and we'll talk about celery, too. You're running with celery in the book. Let's get Sandy on the air, and Sandy, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling because I'm not sure whether you've mentioned or not, but one of my favorite vegetables is Swiss chard, and it's not one that's common.
Go ahead, Sandy. Are you there?
My husband had high cholesterol. We had Swiss chard in our garden, and because we had a bumper crop of it, we had it with almost every meal. And his cholesterol dropped dramatically, like by 40 points. And the doctor said, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. Well, it was the Swiss chard, because it's so versatile. You can use the dark green leafy part for like cabbage rolls or in stir fries or anywhere you do spinach. And the stalks that you cut out are delicious, almost like asparagus. So I love this stuff. We have it all the time.
All right. Well, Sandy, thanks for telling us about Swiss chard. We know that it's a good grower. It's drought tolerant. It can take the heat, and it's something that everyone should, and it's beautiful. It's an ornamental crop as well. So, Hedy, you want to talk about Swiss chard?
Yeah, I love Swiss chard too. It's a wonderful, wonderful grain, particularly in the winter. I also think that you can use it in, so there's a kale chapter in this book, and I always encourage people to substitute vegetables, substitute what they have. And so anything in the book that you would make with kale, you could make with Swiss chard. But I agree, the stem is lovely, and that's another vegetable you use all of it. The stem is crunchy. You can add it at different times to your cooking. But it's also, especially in the winter in New York, we have a lot of Swiss chard. It's beautiful.
Let's go to Pete on the phones. And Pete, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Much appreciated. I have type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol. My parents are originally from Kenya, East Africa. What's the benefit of eating more of a plant-based diet? Could that really help me, restrict my diabetes and have a better living?
All right, Pete, thanks for the call. Hedy McKinnon, I know you're not an MD, but what can you tell us?
Well, I'm not a doctor, but definitely I think that vegetables are, as we just, the caller just before, lowers cholesterol. It's definitely, just leads you to a more healthy diet, makes you feel lighter. And I can't really speak to what it would do for diabetes, but I can't imagine that it wouldn't be good for it.
All right. Yeah. So we know that it does help with lowering the spikes that you get with sugar. So it is a good thing. But, I want to talk about this celery, this cashew celery thing. A lot of people just think of celery as like that thing over there, not really something to go big with. But you go big with celery.
Yes. I do. I love that term, David. Go big with celery. Again, like carrot, I think most people will have some celery in their fridge to use as a base of a sauce or soup, but it can also be the main part of your dish. So I love celery. I eat it every day in different forms. I put it in my smoothies. It has a great texture. I actually love fibrous vegetables. And so it can absolutely. So in the cashew celery, for example, it is a play on a Cantonese dish, chicken with cashews, but I've replaced the chicken and I've added celery. And it just has this, I love the crunch. I love the texture of it. It's also very juicy. And, you can use the leaves too. Sometimes if you can get a bunch of celery and it has all these leaves, and if you grow it, you probably have all the leaves, and you can use the leaves to make a soup. There's one of my favorite recipes in the book is a marinated celery. So I marinate, sliced celery in some vinegar and some sugar, and then that's tossed through couscous. And it has so many different textural characteristics, which are really pleasing. And that's one of the things about eating vegetables is you need to think about texture. As a vegetarian, I want all of those things in a meal. And so you just have to think about the texture and having crunch and having all those things. That's really important to me.
So do you serve that with rice? Is there a lot of rice, that goes along with many of these meals?
Yeah, I mean, the cashew celery I would eat with rice. And rice is one of those things that, growing up, I thought everybody ate rice with their meals. We ate rice every single night as part of a Cantonese banquet meal. So there would be thick stir fries and, six or seven savory dishes, something like the cashew celery dish. And then we would eat that with rice. So it's kind of a new thing to me, actually, to realize that not everybody thinks of rice as an everyday meal, but it could be. You can have rice. There's also many different types of rice.
You can do mixed grains. Sometimes I will cook my rice with some quinoa in it. I will cook brown rice and white rice together, or I can add some black rice. And so it's, you know, these it's actually quite healthy. And you can have that as a base to whatever vegetable stir fry that you're having, or vegetable, you know, even a roasted vegetable goes really well.
Right, and you can cook a bunch of it and use it the next day.
Exactly. Or, you know, make some sort of fried rice with vegetables.
Yeah. So how do you salvage the turnip? You know, because it is an aggressive vegetable. So what salvation do you have for it?
Well, I see. Why don't people eat more turnip? It's available everywhere. It's cheap. I didn't grow up eating bad turnip. So I remember one of my first experiences with turnips was at a farmer's market in Sydney. And the farmer said to me, oh, you need to buy these, and this is how you cook it. All you need is a bit of butter and garlic. Just pan fry it in butter and garlic, and you'll never look back. And so that was really my first experience of turnip, and it was a wonderful experience. So I've never seen why this vegetable is so maligned or just not eaten enough. But turnips are so juicy and sweet. One of my favorite recipes in the book is I glaze it in a miso sauce, and it's pan fried, and it's just so delightful. And it kind of has this familiar texture, a little bit between, kind of has those radish overtones, but also it looks like a potato. So there's something very familiar about a turnip, but so I use it in many applications as I would use potatoes. So there's actually a tortilla, like a Spanish tortilla in the book, but instead of using potato, there's turnips in there that's been confit in oil. And so it's not just like, I love potato. There's actually a potato chapter in the book, but it's just about giving people different ways of thinking about a vegetable that they might not automatically pick up at the supermarket.
So when you're cooking, you think about family style? It's all going to go in a big bowl and we all sit down together and we go at, you know, get served from that bowl. Is that the idea?
With turnips or just with vegetables?
Well, you know, in general. When you're thinking about a dish for your cookbooks.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, family style, because, you know, I grew up eating, you know, around a table with everyone, you know, lots of different, you know, dishes in the middle of the table. So family style to me is my favorite style of way to eat. It's very communal, and it gets people, you know, talking, you know, as they reach for the food and they pass dishes, and it's a really kind of communal way of eating. So that's how I usually think when I'm putting together a meal or putting together a recipe.
Yeah, and so it would get me and my brothers fighting over the last part of the what was left. You know, it was that competition. You didn't want to be the runt of the litter. And so, you know, you write a lot about community. You are a community-based author, and your books are focused on community, and vegetables, you know, are best, you know, eaten, shared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think because of my origins in food, with the salad business and actually seeing the power of food to bring people together. Community is this idea, this ethos, this vision that runs through all of my work, through all of the narratives of whatever I'm writing about. You know, a lot of it is about family and friends and community. It's about the power of food to bring people together and create common understanding.
All right. Well, I sure got some of that today, and I sure do appreciate you coming on board today and talking to us. Hetty McKinnon, author of the book Tender Heart, a cookbook about vegetables and the unbreakable family bonds. It was great talking to you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me and letting me talk about vegetables.
All right. Thank you so much. And this has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted and produced by David Martin Davies. Kayla Padilla is our booking and engagement producer. Engineering support from Ruben Garcia, Jesse Reeves, and Steve Short. Dan Katz is TPR's Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.